Morning, everyone. If you have a marker in your Bible, you might put it in there to Ephesians chapter 4, because this will be the main text that we'll be studying this morning on some notes I've prepared titled Building Up the Church. As Brian just read for us in this passage, there are many things that can and should be done to edify the local congregation, to build up the church. That is what the word edify means, to take and to build up. And as we were reading through this text, we saw all these different offices, all these different goals, these different objectives, and the end result being that the body of Christ in any given location, and actually in all locations, if they are following the will of the Apostle Paul here in this passage, can grow and edify itself and build itself up in love. And that's what we want to study this morning, how we as a congregation can build ourselves up. And when we look at this text of Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse number 11 and reading down through 16, we see that God has given us many offices by which we can accomplish this task. And starting in verse number 11, we see that these offices include some of a miraculous nature. He gave some apostles and some prophets. We know that miracles are no longer being performed by the hands of men on earth today, but don't we have the record of the apostles and the prophets to read and learn and to build ourselves up by? So he gives these offices. Some of them are of a miraculous nature, apostles and prophets. And some of them are more everyday and common, evangelists, he says, and some pastors and teachers. That would be elders of different congregations, those who would be willing to evangelize or spread the gospel message, those who are able to teach. So we have in this passage here the job of building up and edifying the church. And these jobs are accomplished by the offices that were given. The apostles and the prophets whom we study out of when we read our Bibles are still working today. They're still doing the job that God left them, that Christ left them, of building up and edifying the church, because if we study something other than the apostles and the prophets, what good does it do? It might be helpful to study the writings of some Christian that wrote a book here or there, but ultimately, if you want to build yourself up, if you want to build up the church in love, we need to be studying what the apostles wrote, what the prophets wrote. And so we have these offices given to accomplish this job. And the other offices here mentioned, the evangelists and the pastors and teachers, cannot do their job today, at least, without the prophets and the apostles and the prophets. So we have these offices that are given to accomplish this job. And the purpose of this job, in verse number 12, is many. The perfecting of the saints, he would say, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Here are a couple of the three purposes for this job. If we want to build up the church and edify ourselves, we need to give heed to what the apostles and prophets are saying. We need to have people who are willing to help teach. But it's not just the teachers and the pastors and the evangelists. We all have a part to do, as we read in the context. So that's what we want to study this morning, how we as individuals and how we as a congregation can edify and build up the church. The purpose of these jobs, as I mentioned, are for the perfecting of the saints. We have a goal to accomplish, and that is becoming complete, knowing what we need to know to be pleasing to God and to someday have the promise of heaven, the completion there. The work of ministry. We know that there are certain things that need to be done. People need to minister, preaching, helping those who need help in benevolent acts, various other things. For the edifying, again, the building up of the body of Christ. The purpose of those jobs mentioned in verse number 11. But it's an ongoing job we see in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. Something that doesn't just end at a certain location, but something that is ongoing, ever going. He would say, till we all come in the unity of the truth and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now this sounds like an objective that has a definite end. And for some, it might. But some of us always need to study and review and refresh, because from time to time we forget things. Peter, when he was writing in his book of 1 and 2 Peter, said, these things I bring to your remembrance. He said that three or four different times, because sometimes we forget things. We need to review. And so we have this job and this goal of reaching these 4 points found in verse number 13. Some people might get there and not need to go back and review, but I have a feeling that most people need a review. After all, is that not why we gather for different classes and different times of study, to review and help each other and edify each other? These goals are seen here, the first one being unity. The goal of the apostles and the prophets, and the teachers and the pastors and the evangelists, the purpose of these jobs to do these things have many goals, and one of them is unity. We know how important unity is, and without building each other up properly, based on the teachings of the Bible, how can we all have the same thoughts? How can we all reach the same conclusions? For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul there, he beseeched the Christians in Corinth. He says, we all need to speak the same things. We need to have this unity. And without following the apostles and the prophets and these things we've mentioned in these other verses, this unity is impossible. So in order to edify and build each other up, we have to have unity. We also have to have knowledge, he would next say. We all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to know Christ and to know his will. If you'll turn with me over to the book of Colossians, looking in in chapter 1, Paul sums it up here for these people by saying in Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse number 9, he says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with all the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul went and preached to these people and wrote them this letter, verse number 9. He didn't cease to pray for them and desiring for them that they might be filled with this knowledge. Part of edification is to fill ourselves up with the knowledge of Christ. To know Christ, verse number 9, know the knowledge of his will, and to act upon it, verse number 10. We need to walk worthily of the name of Christ, and we do this by knowing him and by knowing his will. Back in our context, we see another goal, unity, knowledge. Another goal is perfection. We all want to become complete in Christ. He says, unto a perfect man, not flawless by any means, but complete. There are many things that make the Christian complete that we can reference here. Back in Colossians, look at verse chapter 2 and verse number 10, talking about completeness. We are complete in Christ. Without knowledge of Christ and his will, how can we be complete in him? So these things build upon each other. He says in verse 10, ye are complete in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. And also, if you'll turn a page over to chapter 4 and verse 12. Here we have the working of a man. We could probably put him in the category of evangelist, who labored with these people to complete this goal, he says, that ye may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. So we have these goals. We know that the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, that the scriptures are what makes a man complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So when we are building ourselves up and edifying the church, our goal is unity, our goal is knowledge, our goal is completion in Christ, knowing his will, knowing what he expects of us. And our last goal then is having that fullness in Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Looking over in Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse number 17, we have the idea of Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith. He would say, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ with passing, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So this passage here in Ephesians chapter 3 is a good summary to these goals we just looked at. The apostles and prophets worked. The evangelists and the pastors and the teachers work to unify, to bring knowledge, to complete the Christians, to bring this fullness about. And these are done when we finally learn the things of Christ and that he dwells in our hearts by faith, verse number 17. And when we understand all these different aspects of what God expects of us as Christians, verse number 18. And then we finally learn the love of Christ, verse number 19. And that is what makes us full as Christians. So we have a job then, to edify and to build up. It's an ongoing job with several goals. But we see that the ultimate objective of these goals, back in our text, is verse number 14. What is the goal of building up the church and edifying ourselves in love? Well, we've already mentioned several goals. What is the objective? We want to know the truth. We want to be able to see the truth. We want to be able to see when something is not the truth. Building ourselves up will enable us to do this. That's why he says in verse number 14 that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The ultimate objective is to be mature adults in Christ. Children will believe anything you tell them, won't they? My dad used to tell me there was this car that came through the neighborhood who had a really loud horn. He used to tell me it was a giant cow. And I believed him. And according to the story, I'd run inside. I guess I was kind of scared of everything when I was little, probably Ian's age. But your dad tells you there's a giant cow outside, you tend to believe him. Well, if I was to tell you today that, in a spiritual sense, that you don't have to be baptized to go to heaven, or it's okay to have fellowship with denominations, are you going to believe me? Not if we've built ourselves up. Not if we've edified ourselves according to what the Bible says and followed the teachings we've looked at. The goal, the objective then, in verse 14, is to not be like children who are tossed to and fro, he says, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Everything that comes along we fall for, or everything that's different that we've never heard, maybe we believe. That's how we should not be. Paul says we have a job to be complete adults, know what is right, know what is wrong. And the only way to do that is by continually building ourselves up and edifying ourselves. Because we don't want to be carried about with every wind of doctrine. And it's easy because men are slight and cunning and crafty. They make up stories that sound great, don't they? You know, an angel appeared to me and told me all these things. And here's our so-called proof in these books that we have written by the angels and etc. People make up some pretty interesting stories. But if we're edified and full grown, we're not going to fall for those things. We're not going to be deceived, the end of verse 14, by these things. We know, Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, that there are some things that Paul wrote, and other authors, I imagine, New Testament authors, that are hard to understand. Not impossible, but hard to understand. But the ignorant take those things and twist them around and corrupt or distort the word of God. And by craftiness, and we see by sneaking around this way, people can draw off onto them followers by taking something that sounds right and something that sounds good from the Bible, but turning it all around and twisting it out of shape. Therefore, we need to be the grown-up adults in Christ, the full Christians and the complete Christians in Christ by edification, so that when this happens and we hear of it, we know what is true and what is false. As the writer says in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, where he's talking about we need to be teachers, there he says, for by reason of use we can have our senses exercised to discern good and evil. We're not children anymore, falling for everything that we hear, but we are full grown, we are full in Christ, we build ourselves up, we use our senses to tell what is right and what is wrong. That's the ultimate objective then, of edification, with an end result of verse 15 and 16. Let's read these verses again. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The end result is that if we teach the whole truth in love, we edify ourselves and grow up, not being these children, We recognize Christ as the head, the source of all authority. The body, fitly joined together here in verse number 16, is going to supply what is needed to grow. And is it not the case that with our physical body, if we eat right and take care of it, from the time we're tiny babies, we are going to grow? Every part, every joint, every organ, every cell doing its job is going to cause that child to grow. Ian comes home after being gone a week, and I swear he's grown. He's taller now. It grows so fast. Well, that's because his body is doing what it's supposed to, and it is growing up. So the end result of the body of Christ is when we do these things that we've studied about, the body is going to grow. It might not reflect in numbers here, but what about in strength of the congregation, in knowledge, in love, in fellowship, in the desire to be together and be friends with each other and spend time together? The church is going to grow stronger and stronger. The bond is going to be stronger. The unity is going to be stronger. These things are good things. Every part or person, verse number 16, has work to do. You might not be an evangelist, but that doesn't mean you can't edify or build up the church. Every part or person is important. Every part. We can look in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and 12, where Paul is talking about the body there. Does the hand or the ear or the eye say, since I'm not some other part, I'm not important? Of course not. Every part's important, verse 16 of our text. And when every part does its job, the body, whether it's our physical body or our spiritual body, is going to grow, become stronger, become better, become more able and willing to accomplish the work that God has given us. This is the end result. The church is built up, is stronger, is able to do what God expects. So what should we do then to accomplish this goal? Sometimes we lose sight of this goal. The reason we are Christians ultimately is to go to heaven. But to get there, we need to build each other up. We need to be strong. We need to be full grown. We need to know the difference between right and wrong. Sometimes we let little things get in the way, don't we? The church of Corinth had this same problem. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Paul has to talk to these people several times. They had miraculous gifts, and they were using them wrong. They had miraculous gifts, and instead of using them to edify, they were causing division with them. I have a psalm, I have a prophecy, I have an interpretation. Things weren't being done in order. Things were being done to boast, I can prophesy and you can't. I must be a better Christian. Paul says, you're not doing the right things. You're losing sight of the end goal of building up and edifying the church. So he tells them in chapter 14 and verse 5, he says, I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesied than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret. What's the end result? Not the who's doing what and who's able to do this much or who can't do very much, but the end result is that the church may receive edifying. He's getting on to them here. Remember the goal. Build up the church. Edify yourselves, he says in verse 5. Verse 12, likewise, you're zealous of spiritual gifts. That's good. But what good if you're zealous of your spiritual gift to the detriment of others? Paul says, remember, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Don't lose sight of the important goal. That's to build each other up. We need to remember this. Verse number 26 as well. He says here, where everyone comes together and all these things are going on, just remember, let all things be done, he says, unto edifying. That's what's important. We have a job to do to build each other up, to edify one another. And this is what Paul reminded the church in Corinth. This is what Paul strove for. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 19 again, Paul brings to their remembrance, this is why I'm working so hard amongst you. This is why I'm doing the things that I'm doing, so that the church may be edified. In the context here, did he take advantage of the church? He says again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things dearly, beloved, for your edifying. Paying attention to that last phrase, Paul did the things that he did for the edifying of the church. That's what's important. Building up the church, edifying the church. And this is accomplished by hard work. In Acts chapter 9, verse number 31, the verses before this tell us of all the preaching that Paul did and all the suffering, all the persecution he went through. But he worked hard for the end result that the church had peace, verse number 31, and they were edified. And because they were built up, they were able to do the last part of the verse. They were able to walk in the fear of the Lord, and they were comforted by the Holy Spirit, and they were multiplied. Paul did all this hard work so that the church could be edified. Paul went to Corinth three times, wrote two letters so that they would be edified. Paul reminded them, you're missing the point of what you're able to do. You should be edifying. And so I think it's good and right, given our text of Ephesians chapter 4, that we remind ourselves of this. Our goal when we gather together is many, but one of the things we need to do is remember to edify one another, to build each other up. So now the question is, what can I do as an individual to edify? I might not be able to stand up and deliver a sermon or teach a class. Does that mean I can't edify? Well, if we look back and remember what Paul said about the body, what he said in Ephesians chapter 4 about every joint and every part supplying this effectual working, we think about our physical body, all the cells working together, there are things we can do to edify the church without doing what I'm doing this morning or leading singing or whatever it might be. If I do my part, the church is going to be built up as a response. Just like our bodies, when our cells do their part, the body grows and is healthy. So what can I do as an individual to edify? Well, first and foremost, I can give heed to the faith. Look at Titus chapter 1, verse number 4. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 4. He says that to Titus here, my own son, after the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, I left you here to do these jobs. And he would go on to say, not just the bishops only, but further down in the chapter, don't give heed to Jewish fables. But verse number 15, there at the, excuse me, I'm losing my sight here. 13 and 15 through 15. Teach them. Be sound in the faith. Rebuke those who need, but be sound in the faith so that we all can come to this knowledge, he would say in these verses. To Titus then, give heed to the faith. That's what I can do to edify myself. I can pay attention to what God would want me to pay attention to. Not 14, these Jewish fables or other stories, the craftiness of men that would turn us aside from the faith. What could I do as a Christian? I can give heed to the faith. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 32. Look what this can do for us. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 32. When we do these things. It says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up or edify, to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. When I give heed to the faith, as our text says, and pay attention to the grace of God, the word of his grace, which is synonymous for the faith, I can be built up. I can edify. And if I'm edified, then the church is being edified. Jude would say in Jude chapter 20, verse number 21, 20 and 21, not chapter, excuse me, but verse, Jude 20 and 21, now we have a responsibility to build ourselves up. He says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. What can I do as an individual to edify? I can give heed to the faith. I can build myself up in the word of his grace. I can, what Jude said, build myself up on my most holy faith. These are what I can do as an individual to edify. But more than that, I could take care of my brethren. Look at Romans chapter 15, the first few verses here. What can I do to edify as an individual? I can take care of my brethren. Paul says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Paul says, well, I can take care of the weaker brethren. I can take care of my neighbor, verse number 2. I can do what's good for them to build them up. So what can I do as an individual? I can give heed to the faith. I can build myself up in the word of his grace. I can build myself up on the most holy faith. I can take care of my fellow Christians. After all, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 3, the Bible there tells us to each esteem other better than themselves. That's what I can do as an individual to edify. What can we do as a congregation to edify? Remembering our text in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 16, when the body is fitly joined together, each joint is working, every part is doing its job, there's going to be an increase. If I can do these things individually to edify, the church is going to be edified. But what about as a group? What can we do as a group to edify one another? Well, first of all, I think we can hold each other accountable, can't we? Isn't the goal for all of us to get to heaven together? Then I should be accountable for you, and you should be accountable for me. Remember what Cain was asked when Abel was missing? You know, where is your brother? You remember his answer, don't you? Am I my brother's keeper? Well, sure you are. In Philippians, if you're still there, look at chapter 2 and verse number 4. Paul here would remind us, chapter 2 and verse number 4, look not every man on his own things, every man also on the things of others. We should be able to hold each other accountable. If I'm doing something wrong, I hope that you would love me enough to keep me accountable, tell me what I'm doing is wrong, try to correct me. That would build me up. The church would be edified by it. We can hold each other accountable. We can follow the example of 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2. We can make sure that we as a congregation preach the word and are instant in season and out of season. And specifically, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. We can follow that example to reprove and rebuke if it's needed and to exhort one another to do what's right. Remembering to have patience during this, to be long-suffering, and to do it according to God's will, the doctrine there. That's what we can do as a congregation to edify. We can also do the following. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. What can we do as a congregation to build each other up? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 14. The Bible says, now we exhort you, brethren, admonish them that are unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, support the weak, be patient and long-suffering towards all men. As a congregation, we can do these things to build each other up. Admonish really falls in with what we've just been talking about, holding each other accountable and reproving and rebuking and exhorting. But admonish just means to give a warning to. That's the mark of a mature congregation, when we're able to admonish one another if we need to. Hey, don't do that. It's not in accordance with God's will. We could admonish one another. Romans chapter 15, if you look again there in that chapter, this time read verse number 14. We see again the mark of a mature congregation. Paul, talking to the church in Rome, was confident that they were a mature congregation. He says, I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. That is the mark of a mature congregation. Paul says, I know you're able to do these things. And we can edify and build each other up by admonishing each other. Number 2, by encouraging each other. The Bible says comfort or encourage the faint-hearted. It's not always easy doing what's right. It's always required, but it's not always easy. And to build each other up, we can encourage one another to keep doing what is right and keep obeying God and leaning on each other for the encouragement that we need. Life can be hard. It's important that we have people who can give us encouragement. That is what we can do as a congregation to build each other up. Next, he says, support the weak. I don't know if he means the weak in the flesh or the weak in the spirit. Maybe it's all. Support the weak. We might have members who are ailing, who are sick, who need our special attention. We can build each other up by supporting those people. But what about the spiritually weak? Spiritually weak members are not a bad thing. If we aren't edifying them, that is what is the bad thing. But not everybody has the same level of faith. Not everyone is a strong Christian. There are plenty of weak Christians. And there is no reason to write off a weak Christian. Just the opposite. If we're following God's example, we support those who are weak. We encourage those who are weak. We encourage them. We admonish them if we need to and exhort them. So we support those who are weak and who do not have the same strength that we do. And finally, the thing that covers it all, be patient. Be patient with those who have different opinions, with those who have different likes and dislikes. Dad's not very patient when it comes to onions, is he? He was talking last week about, what was it, about putting our judgments on others. And he's always talking about you're doing what's wrong if you eat onions because it's the fruit of the devil. Well, we got to be patient with people who have different opinions or different likes or dislikes. But we even need to be patient with people who have different views, don't we? If I hold to a different view on a subject, let's say I hold a different view of baptism, I shouldn't be written off necessarily. You need to be patient and long-suffering while you try to teach me, while you try to edify me and build me up in the most holy faith, while you encourage me to study and figure it out. Of course, there's a time when I would have a perfect knowledge of that, and if I still hold to my wrong view, we have to follow the Bible pattern. But until that time, we need to be long-suffering. We cannot build up weak Christians without patience, without teaching them what is right and what is wrong. Say a person's been a Christian for a few weeks, and for 30 years of his life, he cussed and used profane language. We need to be patient with that person while he studies and learns and gets control of his tongue. That is how we as a congregation can edify each other. And so what more important thing is there than building up the church? Going back to our text, just by way of quick review, we do have a tremendous job, but we have the tools given. We have the ability to do this job. There are many goals to accomplish by doing this job, but the end result is that the church is built up and stronger. And we are able to encourage and admonish and support one another with patience. We as individuals and as a congregation can edify, do our part, and the church is going to prosper. I hope this lesson has been beneficial to you in considering what we can do to build up and edify the church. Hopefully we can take these things and apply them to our lives. But what if you're not a Christian? What if you have never obeyed the gospel? You don't have the blessings of the church and of the Christian friends as we have been studying this morning. You need to become part of the church. You need to edify and grow and build yourself up so that you too can have the hope of eternal life. You've already heard the message this morning. Do you believe it? Do you believe that Christ died to establish this church, that we are able to edify and build up? Do you believe that only through faith in his name is salvation possible? Are you willing to state that fact publicly, be buried with him in baptism, and walk a new life, and use the years of experience of your fellow Christians to help you make it along the way? Is there anything that you need? Let us know while we stand and sing this song for your encouragement.